He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hand they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of God for us, the people of God, thanks be to God. Friends, will you all pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable for you, God, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I have a picture to show you. When I was there in the Holy Land just last month, my goodness, just last month, so this picture is taken from Jericho, but this is the Mount of Temptation. This is where they think Jesus was tempted. You can kind of see like a square building at the top. It's an Israeli defense thing that they have made, but we believe that Jesus was taken to the top of this this mountain where the temptation happened. You can't see too clearly, but all throughout the bottom of the mountain, there are caves all around. And there's also a monastery. I know the picture with the beautiful light is hard to see, but over to the left side, there's a monastery that's been there since the 4th century. As people go there and think about temptation and meditate and just have a time of quiet in the desert. So I wanted you all to have this in mind as we think about our text for today. So I shared on Ash Wednesday service about my art journey. So sorry, if you were here at Ash Wednesday, you get a little repeat, but I promise there's new things too. So I grew up just outside of Richmond, Virginia, and it's a big art area. And so I took lots of art classes as a child and youth. There was even a stained glass class that my sister and I took in downtown Richmond off Cary Street. And I loved doing art. My grandmother got into art later in her life, and she converted one of her spare bedrooms into a little art studio. So we would go up and do watercolors and other things together. However, especially as I got older, my pursuit of perfectionism came in conflict with my desire to do art. Because I couldn't tell you what perfect looked like with my art, but I knew when it wasn't perfect. And my art was never perfect. And so it became this frustration for me. I would want to create, I would create something, and it wasn't perfect, and so I'd get frustrated and eventually stopped creating. And so my pursuit of perfection got the best of me. Do we sometimes approach our faith in the same way that I approached art? Do we get frustrated when we realize we haven't reached the goal we set in mind? We don't feel God's presence in that powerful way we've heard from others or that we've experienced in the past. Maybe we realize we're not perfect and we give up. This Lenten season, we're embracing good enough. I'm using this book by Kate Bowler and Jessica Ritchie called Good Enough, 40-ish Devotions for a Life of Imperfection. Now, I know for some of you, you're thinking, I don't want this series. I am okay with my perfectionist tendencies, and that's okay. But I promise you will get some things out of this, even if this sounds not like you. As the authors write in their preface, they understand these words, good enough might be hard for people. As they wrote, we are laughing every time we describe good enough as implying a gentle meh. We love God. We simply know that we will not be journeying and joining a monastic order anytime soon, and we have to figure out a reasonable spiritual plan given how much Netflix we're watching. Maybe that sounds like you, right? You want to grow closer to God, yet you know you're not giving up everything, you're not joining a monastic order and worshiping God all day long, and so where is that in between for you? Giving good enough means not giving up. It means letting go of an idea of a perfect spiritual plan and embracing what we can do right now. As the tagline of this book is, perfectionism is impossible, transformation isn't. And that's what the Lenten journey is all about, transformation. So today we're looking at our ordinary lives. Maybe when you were younger, you had dreams of being a big movie star, moving out to LA, making it in Hollywood. Maybe you had visions of being the best sports star in whatever sport you are good at, having a huge mansion, jet-setting all over the world, having tons of sports cars. The truth is, all of us, many of us, have wonderful lives, but maybe not the grand life we had imagined when we were younger. When I was in kindergarten, I wanted to be the first female president. That was in the 80s, 90s, so there was no female president on the horizon, and I decided it seemed like a powerful job. Everybody knew your name, and that seemed pretty cool. I wanted a life that was anything but ordinary. Now, praise God, God did not call me to be a president. I realize now that is the greatest gift God has ever given me. It is not worth the toll it takes on your life and your family's life. And I pray for our president, whether I voted for our president or not, I pray for that president because it is a hard job. Many of us have dreams of an extraordinary life. But what if an ordinary life is what God wants for us? What if an ordinary life is good enough? So again, for Lent, we are using this good enough in our life and in our faith. This past Wednesday, we celebrated Ash Wednesday, beginning the 40-day season of Lent. Like many things in faith and scripture, our counting of days is always initially clear. During Lent, we do not count the Sundays. I know, so it's 40 days minus the Sundays, because Sundays are little Easter, when we are called to celebrate the gift of life and resurrection. So Lent evolved over the centuries into a 40-day season of preparation, when we reflect, repent, and prepare our hearts for Easter. So today's scripture illustrates the importance of preparing. It's also often referred to as the temptation of Jesus and found in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. One way to understand teachings that are found in multiple places is that they are important. Jesus and the disciples knew we needed to know this and needed to know it multiple times. Think about when you repeat something multiple times to your children or at work or maybe with your spouse, right? We want them to communicate. We want to communicate that this is important. This is important. Or think about when young people are learning to read. Think how important it is for them to be read to as they learn the words, for them to practice even when they get frustrated. That repetition is so important. And Jesus wanted his disciples to understand his messages, to hear them in multiple ways, to grasp the concepts. So, what is God trying to teach us in our text today? So, we're told right before this, Jesus had been baptized in the River Jordan, was full of the Holy Spirit, been called beloved by God, and tells us that God is with us and with Jesus. And then that same Holy Spirit leads Jesus to that mountain that I showed you, to the top of that to be tempted. So here are some things that we might take away. One, that God is with Jesus, and Jesus is being obedient to God. And despite that God is with Jesus, and Jesus is being obedient to God, Jesus is still experiencing barriers, temptations, challenges, junk that has the potential to cause him to turn away from God, to rely on his own skill set instead of God's. And then when we are at our weakest, maybe when we haven't slept or we haven't eaten or we're cranky, all that, the temptation is the strongest. Notice that the tempter waits until the end of the 40 days to use his best moves, to try to get Jesus to eat, to have power over the kingdoms, to test God's power. And the text also tells us how Jesus responds. Jesus leans into his faith. He actually leans into God, and Jesus uses his trust and relationship with God. And Jesus' three responses are grounded in Scripture, all from the book of Deuteronomy. So how does all of this work together to help us understand what a good enough Lent and faith looks like? So a couple of things stand out. One is that when we are really at our best spiritually, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are reading our Bible, we're engaged, ready to join God's work, that's sometimes when the temptation is the strongest. And we have to rely on God and not our own wisdom, which often we are tempted to do. So think about after a long, hard day, you're on the couch vegged out, you know you should be going to sleep, but maybe you're tempted by the pint of Ben and Jerry's that you have in your freezer, right? Or maybe you're engaged in a little late night online shopping. That's when I always buy things I do not need. Or you read through your work email. You shoot off a couple of hasty responses because something, you know, riled you up. You saw something that could have waited till tomorrow. And then you regret what you just sent out in an email. Or maybe it's in your faith. You've been praying, reading scripture, fasting, being kind, and you don't see the growth that you had hoped to see. These are the times when we're tempted to give up, to want things to be perfect and not rest in the good enough. These are the times when we're tempted to give up. And that's what I'd done with my art. I loved it as a child and a youth, and yet I grew frustrated that it wasn't perfect, and I gave up. Also, understanding that temptation and resistance is universal, even Jesus experienced temptation. And we need to be equipped to push back, hence why this lesson is found in three of the Gospels. So the desire to strive for anything but an ordinary life is handed down often from generation to generation, right? We want our kids to have everything that they want, do we not? We want them to have good, wonderful lives. The hard part, though, is if we give into the world, I promise you it's never enough. Think about the Keeping Up with the Joneses, right? You want the best car, the best house, but suddenly the goalpost keeps changing, does it not? Sometimes when we give in to that Keeping Up with the Joneses. Think about technology. My goodness, every year a new phone comes out that's so much more expensive than the last version and only does minimally better things, does it not? If we try to keep up with the Joneses, if we try to strive for that perfect life, we will never get there. The goalposts will keep changing. Now, we do believe that with God's help, we can reach Christian perfection. That's the wonderful thing about our theology, is we have this idea of perfection, this idea that we can be perfectly in line with God, which means that we have God's heart, that we fully love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. So in our pursuit of reaching this, we embrace where we are, and we embrace good enough, and know that the Holy Spirit will help us to reach that full perfection, not us on our own, but with the Holy Spirit. And it means we don't give up when we don't see the changes we want to see. We keep going. As I shared on Ash Wednesday, I knew that I missed my art. I missed being creative, and through God's timing, I decided to take a pottery wheel class last November and December. Now, friends, I discovered I am not naturally good at a pottery wheel. In fact, I made up this little Linton skate for us, and I put two of my pots that are not that good. These are barely good enough. I don't know if you can see. It's supposed to be a bowl. Bowl is a very loose word with this. It got off center at some point. I did not pull it up correctly. And so I was tempted to put this back into clay. But then I also thought, you know, maybe I need to be reminded at times about being good enough. Also, I figured I can still practice other things and glaze it as well. So I show these to you to remind us that sometimes good enough is where we are and where we start. I was tempted to give up on the class. However, I'm fairly frugal, and I thought, you paid for this class. You are going to go to all six of your classes, whether you're good at it or not. And I also reached out for help. I started practicing when I could and was not going to give up easily. And I have a bowl in my office that you can tell is a bowl, right? I don't have to tell you what it is to remind me that progress is possible when we work really hard. So looking back at where our scripture began, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end, he was hungry. So perhaps God invites us into the seasons of learning and growth so we can experience life more fully. Perhaps as people who have access to literally everything under the sun, everything we could possibly want, we need to learn a lesson of contentment and trust, of not looking at where you are today in your life and your faith journey as settling, or that you're falling short, or that your faith is not good enough. And instead, we just breathe in and out and open our eyes to the gift of life that is today. One of the interesting things about the number 40 is it's used multiple times in the Bible and often means a long time. We think about Noah and it raining for 40 days and 40 nights. I feel like last year we had a week of rain and that was hard on me, but Noah had 40 days and 40 nights and even longer on the ark. Moses went 40 days without food on Mount Sinai, we see in Exodus 34. Elijah also did 40 days without food. Then we think of Israel's 40 years in the wilderness and Jesus' 40 days of temptation. Friends, the parents of our faith experience ordinary, everyday lives and faith, all of them with struggles, including at times boredom, frustrations, and questions, sometimes for a long time, like 40 years of when we're going to get there. Perhaps in a time when all things and information is available literally at our fingertips, we are called in this season of Lent, these 40 days of preparation, to be content with ordinary life, not to be tempted by what beckons us into our weakness, but to lean into the faith that we already have, trusting God will make us more and more holy every day, a faith that is good enough. Amen. Will you all pray with me? God, be with us. We often struggle with wanting to be perfect, not just perfect in our faith, but perfect in everything, perfect in our field, perfect in our families, perfect in everything. God, help us to still strive for excellence and sometimes embrace good enough. God, thank you for our ordinary, beautiful lives. Thank you for this community that is ordinary and extraordinary at the same time. God, help us to embrace good enough. In Christ's name we pray.